Welcome, America. Fasten your seatbelts. This is the Jay Sheldon Show.
Biden remembers we have a border. DEI ain't going away anytime soon. Really sad news tonight, today. And more EV danger. Probably an angle you haven't thought of before, but it's happening and it's scary. And welcome to the Jay Sheldon Show. We made it to Friday. Yes, Friday is here. Hallelujah. We made it. The weekend is staring us in the face. It's just a day away. Can't wait. All right, we got all that and more. A packed show tonight. Lots coming up. And thank you for popping by. We really do appreciate that for all the folks who are in the chat. If you want to jump into our live chat, all you need is a free Rumble account. That's it. You just sign up for a free account. You don't have to start a channel or do a live broadcast or post videos. Can if you like. But you just have to have an account in order to chat. Hit the thumbs up button. Follow the show, all of which we hope you will do. And we appreciate that very much. All right. This show is brought to you by one of the most amazing American companies you will find that makes the most amazing cup of coffee you will find anywhere, and that is Blackout Coffee. Blackout Coffee is all about our conservative values, truth, honesty, integrity, family, all the good stuff that you and I believe in, they believe in too. They are all about America. And, of course, they're all about making a good cup of coffee, and this one is great. They work with local co-ops and American farmers to grow the best beans. They select only the choicest beans. And when you order, only then they roast your beans within 48 hours. Ship them out another few days, and you've got a fresh bag of beans at your doorstep, ready to grind up into the most amazing, robust, full-flavored, never bitter cup of coffee you ever had in your life. They've got all kinds of great roasts over there. You will find them right there. Brutal Awakening, Covert Co-op, Morning Reaper, Pitch Black Espresso, 2A, which stands for Second Amendment. I told you this company's all about America and supporting us. 1776. We hope that you will return the favor and support them. They've got flavored coffees, teas, hot cocos. Be awake, not woke. When you go to checkout, just buy yourself a single bag of beans just to try it out. You will love it and be back. When you're at checkout, be sure you use the promo code J20, J-A-Y-20, my first name, at checkout, 20% off your first order. No matter how big or small you order, 20% off using the promo code J20, J-A-Y-20 at checkout from Blackout Coffee. Help support this show, help support that company, and do yourself a favor, get your hands on the best cup of coffee you've ever had. Once you've tried it, by the way, jump in the chat, let us know. Karen did that. She's addicted to this. I think it's a Morning Reaper. It was the roast that she picked. Man, it's good stuff. It really is. Okay, well, the border was busy today, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Joe Biden finally figured out where the border was in what was a completely staged, unrealistic photo op. Biden tells Trump, "Join me." This is from Axios. This idiot. Oh, man. In a stunning movement today, Joe Biden used his second U.S.-Mexico border visit as president to urge Donald Trump to work with him on passing the toughest immigration law in decades. Dude, you disregarded and eliminated the toughest immigration laws the minute you hit the Oval Office, you ass. Biden campaigned on ending Trump's border policies, and now he's accusing Republicans of standing in the way of his efforts to halt this massive, historic migrant crisis. Man, I'm telling you. Instead of telling members of Congress to block this legislation, join me, Biden says in Brownsville, Texas. place he couldn't find on a map if he swung at it with both hands. He prodded House Republicans to show a little spine. Oh, God, this imbecile. Take up the Senate border deal, which they helped torpedo, thankfully, earlier this year. 300 miles upstream in Eagle Pass, Trump said Biden has the blood of countless innocent victims on his hands. Ain't that the truth? The U.S. is being overrun by the Biden migrant crisis. Trump said that today. He was the other visitor, by the way. Yeah, Biden went. He went. Immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than other U.S. residents, multiple studies have found. Really? Biden's visit, it says here, this is Axios, so, you know, left-wing rag, underscores a shift in his campaign to more forcefully address illegal immigration. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. He could sit down at that damn desk in the Oval Office, the Resolute, with the stroke of a pen, take care of this immigration crisis, just like that. He has the power right now. He doesn't need anything else but himself and a pen and the will to do it, or the people pulling his strings having the will to do it. Thankfully, Trump has promised mass deportation if he wins. The moment he hits the ground, he is hitting the ground running. January 2025 is going to be a nightmare for a lot of people, and they are scared shitless. And they're acting accordingly. Insane. Split screen. Biden, Trump, two very different border trips. There's another article there. That link is in our show notes if you want to check it out. Yeah, it was a mess. It was a pack of lies as far as Biden's concerned. Nobody cares. Trump even described partially how he's going to start this mass deportation. Brilliant idea, by the way. He says he's going to use local police. Screw these federal communist bastards who've all been bought and sold. It's the local boys and girls who are going to take care of this problem. His mass deportation, he says he will use local police. Good on you. To implement his plan. Visited the Mexico border today, of course, as you know. Vowed to launch the largest deportation operation in American history. We have to deport a lot of people, quoting Trump. And they have to start immediately. Yes, if not sooner. Man. I love that this news keeps right there in your face. The only way anything's going to happen, well, what's really going to happen is come November when you get into the voting booth. Karen Hill, good morning, Jay. Happy Friday and happy to be drinking this amazing coffee. She's talking about blackout coffee. Morning Reaper and 2A. All right. Thank you, Karen. Anna Layden, Night of the Living Dead. Visit somewhere near a border. Yeah. Somewhere near a border. Imagine this. Oh, no, that was Twilight Zone. But you're right. You know, he more reminds me of that guy from Poltergeist. You remember that minister? You're all gonna die! Remember that guy? That's Joe Biden. McGroin-Hertz. Hey, McGroin-Hertz, welcome in. The puppet looks sick and frail while attempting to deflect his open border scheme on Republicans. He looks sick and frail 24/7, 365, mainly because he is sick and frail. But you're right. He did not look good today. I think the old B12 shots are not kicking in strong enough. Man. Google, Google, Google. They are next on my hit list tonight. This is from Public over on Substack. If you are not subscribed, you are missing out, friends. Check it out. The link's in our show notes. Google's CEO, listen up, has pledged to use AI to counter fake news, or, as we know, what they call fake news. Racism and populism after Trump victory. This just happened, this just came out 2 days ago. Tech giant that supported the Get Out the Vote effort to help Clinton donates 90% to Democrats. And for questioning DEI, Google actually fired people. You question DEI? Hit the bricks. Sundar Pichai today, he's the CEO over at that mess called Google, evil company. He addressed the public being upset about Gemini, their chatbot AI, for its political bias. He said, listen, I want to address the recent issues with problematic text and images responses in the Gemini app. I know that I know some of its responses have offended our users and shown bias. Oh. To be clear, that's completely unacceptable, and we got it wrong. Folks, Google's bias has been on very public display since 2017. Pichai fired a Google employee, James Damore. Damore is the guy who wrote this 10-page memo. You may remember the story. Criticized the company's diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, particularly in its bias-busting training. And the partisan bullshit from Google expressed just days after Trump was elected. They had an all-hands employee meeting. Quote, quoting Pichai, CEO, it's been an extraordinarily stressful time for many of you. I certainly find this election deeply offensive. This was after Trump, right after, 3 days after Trump got elected. I know many of you do too. One Google executive, drama queen, nearly started crying when recounting that Trump won. It was this massive kick in the gut that we were going to lose. And it was really painful. These are the people who program the search engines and the AI chatbots that you use. Are you sure you want to keep using them? He apologizes and says, we're really sorry that we have a complete political gender DEI bias about everything we give you in our products, but we're going to keep on doing it. Screw you. DEI is not going away either, by the way. This from the Daily Caller, links in our show notes. Conservatives continue to take scalps. Good. But the DEI threat ain't going anywhere anytime soon. This is a scary article from Gage Clipper over on Daily Caller. No matter where you stand on the political spectrum, sounds like a cliche to say diversity, equity, and inclusion is the greatest threat to American constitutionalism, limited government. But that doesn't make it any less true. To the left, the threat of DEI, nothing but a far-right fever dream. dog whistle for bigoted whites to seethe at and oppress minorities. That's why some people, Caucasians mostly, God forbid a white male, doesn't even dare speak out. I don't give a crap. You don't agree with me? Find some other show. I don't give a shit. Even the most milquetoast center-left establishmentarian will say, what's the big deal? Diversity is our strength. And besides, it's just a nice thing to do. The right, however, quickly reaching its saturation point. I know mine is over there. Decades of blaring Fox News cryons on the socialist left. The implication of the term no longer registers. Similarly, DEI has pretty much become a catch-all for any woke politics. Explaining anything and everything that goes wrong in America. Oh, it's DEI. Now, it is DEI. We've seen so many examples just in the last few months. Worse is the tempting sense of complacency set in as the right begins to take scalps in the war against DEI. Twin scandals of anti-Semitism, plagiarism. You saw that happen at our elite universities. Something this crazy can't go on forever. So it won't. We can only pray. It's going to be around a while. Unless come January, when Trump is sitting in that office, he's got a lot of signing to do. He has got a ton of executive orders to start pumping out. The moment he hits the ground, you know he's going to hit the ground running. And how are they going to keep track of if you're being politically correct or not? In Washington State, man, my brother used to live in Portland. He loved it. He said the city was absolutely amazing. I've been to Washington State once in the airport in a layover, and it was snowing like hell. That is the only thing I ever have seen of Washington State. Based on what I've been hearing lately, I don't want to see anything of Washington State. The Washington Secretary of State Hobbs, despite an ethics complaint, is using AI to surveil social media. Anything you post, despite the criticisms, she is going to continue to surveil, or he, online speech. Republicans in Washington State working hard, apparently just not hard enough. Or maybe the Washington Secretary of State's working harder. The goal here hoped to be achieved, the former, to rein in the use of AI tech to surveil and quite possibly censor, not quite possibly, definitely censor social media posts. The other side is trying to make sure that that tech does indeed get used. Last year, Secretary of State's office, Steve Hobbs, put together a $273,000 deal with a UK private company to, as they said at the time, scour the web, refute misinformation, and just in general, respond in real time to what the authorities decide, is misinformation and disinformation. This guy is getting crap from all angles, and he just doesn't care. He's moving full speed ahead with this crap. So again, even if, let's say, you're on X or Truth Social, where you can speak freely, freedom of speech is still a thing. Not Facebook, not YouTube. For the most part, free speech is still a thing over on X. Thank you, Elon, Mr. Musk. But that doesn't matter. You heard one of the things they're going to be doing is it's not just, you know, because they can't get into the algorithm and slow down your reach, hopefully. What they can do is respond in real time to anything you have to say and counter what you have to say, lies and all. And it will sound as if somebody legit is sitting out there in their basement with their X account replying to you. And it isn't. It's AI. AI that's been specifically programmed to fight against us. Man. We mentioned Elon Musk. What'd Hunter say? Hunter Biden in the chat says, so far President Biden visited East Palestine, saved students from predatory loans, and closed the border. Everything is perfect in America. Hunter? Have a little more. Okay. Here's something you haven't thought of. You know, we talk about electrical vehicles, how people don't like them, they don't want them, the sales are down, they suck. For a lot of reasons. There's another reason, too, that most people haven't thought of. You know how they catch fire? Of course, everybody knows that. You've all seen the pictures. Horrible fires. Well, when they catch fire, somebody's got to put those fires out. Fire chief, toxic gas and electrocution presents serious risks to firefighters putting out EV fires. They had a hearing. California Rep. Jay Obernolte said firefighters having to make makeshift ponds and completely take the vehicle and submerge it into these makeshift ponds in order to keep it from reigniting. These fires in EV vehicles, because of the chemicals they contain, the possibilities of batteries exploding, electrocution, are hugely dangerous. Firefighters, other first responders, if they've got victims inside the vehicles. EV fires are fundamentally different from traditional internal combustion engine fires. New dangers that our first responders need to be prepared for. Lithium-ion batteries can experience what is called thermal runaway. Now, this doesn't get too wonky. Stay with me. Inside the batteries are a cathode and an anode, which are physically separated by a component called, conveniently enough, a separator. If that separator gets compromised, it's virtually the same thing as having a nuclear meltdown on a bit of a smaller scale, but it's pretty much the same thing. Defect, accident, whatever the reason, if that separator is compromised and those two parts come together, it's explosion or fire time. The battery cell enters an uncontrollable, self-heating state that produces incredibly, extremely high temperatures. Cell venting of toxic gas, smoke, and fire. There are currently 3.1 million EVs in operation today on the roads in the U.S. Now, fires are not that common, thankfully. But, Experts in the auto industry say there'll be nearly 130 million EVs in American roads by 2030. Fires from these EVs produce a number of risks to firefighters. Exposure to toxic gases, electrocution. The fires burn incredibly hot and can take hours, and even in some cases days, to put them out. And they will reignite. Like I said, one of the firefighters in Wakefield, Massachusetts, had to dump 22,000 gallons of water on a burning EV for 2 hours just to put it out. Just to give you some idea, 22,000 gallons of water is enough to fill about 300 bathtubs. So, you think electrical vehicles are the problem? There's another one. And if you are on a fire, even a volunteer fire department, you better make sure that your chief has got you some sort of training in dealing with EV fires, because it can happen. Racist, sexist, homophobe, welcome into the chat, and I love your comment. And Aladdin, it'll survive only if we, the people, save it from these effing commies. Full stop. Hey, you heard about the Texas wildfires? Man. This is Maui 2.0, folks. This is bad and getting worse. It's been in the news. People have mostly covered it. But it is wicked bad. Threatening a nuclear power plant. A bunch of wildfires raging in the Texas Panhandle. Grown to become the largest wildfire in state history. Dang. Smokehouse Creek fire been burning since Monday. That's almost a full week. Emergency crews make very little progress in trying to contain it. So far, torched over 1 million acres of land in Texas. Most by a wildfire in the history of Texas. 31,500 acres in Oklahoma also, according to CNN. Just one of several that have ripped through Texas cattle country this week. Two people, sadly, have died so far as a result of these fires. Ranchers have lost thousands of livestock, many more likely to be euthanized. Homes, other buildings lost to the fire. The owners of the historic Turkey Track Ranch in Texas estimate it's lost 80% of its land to these wildfires. Man. The panhandle where these fires are is home to about 85% of Texas's cattle herds. Now, who is it that's trying to get us to eat less beef? Besides Bill Gates. Well, he's the biggest one. In a completely unrelated news story. Remember, I said Maui. I want to make that very clear. This next story is not related to the previous story, Maui. This is the patent for a directed energy weapon. You know, the thing they say doesn't exist? It is currently being used. It is an active weapon in the U.S. Air Force. Apparently, one of the things these directed energy laser weapons cannot do is fire in through anything with a blue surface. I know you've seen the tinfoil hat stuff, but I've also seen lasers being shot against a variety of different colors of materials and it goes brrr, zip, zip, burn, 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 and then hits the blue one, nothing. Right after that, hits a green one, bzz, starts burning again. This is the actual U.S. patent, and that picture there is a directed energy weapon mounted on the front of this plane. That's the patent right there. And like I said, this story has nothing to do with my previous one. Okay, we're all talking about the southern border, which doesn't exist. It's not even a border. Wait. I can't let this go. We'll get to that in a second. But Hunter says the American people support what you call a dystopian shithole. Remember, Joe got 81 million votes. Okay, well, first of all, no, he didn't. Okay? And anyone with an IQ above room temperature would know that. Leighton says, in which 60 million were stolen from Trump. And McGroinhurt says, I don't think he even got 31 million votes. And Jay says, I'll take the under on that bet. Man, oh man. Thank you for stirring things up, Hunter. We are really glad you're here. You stand up for what you believe in. Just keep it up, bud. All right, we're all worried about our southern non-existent border, right? And while all eyes are on the southern border, guess what's going on to the north? Yep, you had to see this one coming. The northern border is being invaded. Chinese nationals arrested crossing the border into Maine. Here we go. Three Chinese nationals arrested crossing the northern border near Fort Fairland, Maine, and a fourth one arrested on suspicion of assisting them. Border agents in Maine arrested the illegals while they were crossing the northern border into Maine early Wednesday morning. According to a local outlet, the three unidentified Chinese nationals crossing the border got intercepted by authorities with U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. A fourth one, who was driving the vehicle they were in, also arrested on suspicion of assisting the others to cross the border. Not known if they're part of what the Department of Homeland Security calls the Asian Transnational Criminal Organizations. And if you've ever been to Maine, and I've been to Maine in my youth a billion times. We used to go York Beach, Maine, not way up north, but if there was ever a border you'd want to cross and likelihood of getting caught would be pretty low. Well, right now, of course, it's the south, because it doesn't matter. There can be a Border Patrol agent standing right there. You just walk past them and they'll smile and wave and let you go. But during more normal times, if there's ever a place you want to come into the country illegally, it would be Maine. Vermont. I've seen the Vermont border with Canada. It's like a barbed wire fence. A one-wire barbed wire fence. You know, like the old ones the old farms used to have. Anyway, these organizations allegedly run drugs through Maine, run all kinds of things through Maine, human smuggling, sex trafficking, no doubt, part of it. And yeah, it's a mess, and it's happening, and it is all happening in the north, while you and I are paying all of our attention to the south. Man. Oh, dear. Okay, we need some brevity, we need some levity, we need some laughs, and I got those for you. Love your show, J-Bo. Too bad you're wrong on every topic, Hunter. Thank you, Hunter. I appreciate it. I really do. I'm not bullshitting. I appreciate your being here, It is all about having conversations. It is all about disagreeing, putting up your evidence, putting up my evidence. Maybe we change one or the other's mind. Maybe we don't. Maybe we call each other an asshole and move on. But we're having a conversation. And that is what is so severely lacking in this country these days. Just the ability to talk. McGroin hurts. You must love prison food. I told you, right? When I was in law enforcement, I spent 3 years as a prison guard, detention deputy for the sheriff's department. Man, I'm telling you, do not get arrested. If for no other reason, the food really sucks. I don't mean it's just bad. I mean, it sucks. Okay. Last little bit. This might be a little loud, but it's worth it. And I hope I don't get any copyright hits here, because it's also worth it to take the hit. This is a series, about a minute long, of animals doing the weirdest things, cut to music. Because after a week like we had, I think we all deserve a little chuckle.
You can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. The music loud, my women warm, I've been kicked around since I was born. But now it's all right, it's okay.
Y'all ready for this?
And I think to myself,
what are you staring at, fucker?
Come on, girl, shake that ass for me. Shake that ass for me. I'm a menace, a dentist, an Ohio dentist. Open your mouth for about 4 or 5 minutes.
Shake.
Walk like a man, walk like a man, walk like a man myself.
I can see you from behind you.
Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
I can't. Oh, man. Okay, okay, okay. Did I tell you it was worth it? The link's in our show notes to that X feed, by the way, if you want to share it out yourself or watch it again or whatever. That is funny. That is funny, funny stuff. And hat tip to Musk Universe 420 over on X, who posted that. Oh, man. No matter what kind of mood I'm in, no matter what's going on, yes, Rex, racist, sexist, homophobe says, finally, animal vids, something to finally laugh about. You can always depend on animal vids, no matter what. I got a whole stock of them back up library, just in case. If it all goes to shit in a handbag, I got animal videos. All right, book time. I tell you every time, and you're probably tired of hearing it, but in case you're new, we've read books on this show from the beginning. Children's classic literature, Wizard of Oz, Little Prince, Alice in Wonderland, White Fang, Treasure Island, you name it, Peter Pan. And right now we're doing The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew, which was very first time published back in 1881. It was originally written by Margaret Sidney, who did a whole series of these books. The Black Cat was amazing. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I rather like that last one, though, with the bump and grind. That was cool. But The Black Cat was pretty cool. All right. The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew. We've gone through the measles. We're still dealing with it. And lots happening at the Pepper household. So let's dig right back in and see what's happening. We're starting a new chapter. It's called Joel's Turn. Well, Mrs. Pepper's tone was unusually blithe as she stepped into the kitchen. You've had a nice time, I suppose. What in the world? And she stopped at the bedroom door. Oh, Mammy, if you'd been here, said Joel, while Polly sat still, only holding on to her eyes as if they were going to fly out. There's been a big woman here. She came right in. She talked awfully. Polly's been a-crying, and her eyes ache dreadfully. And been crying, repeated Mrs. Pepper, coming up to poor Polly. Polly's been crying, she still repeated. Oh, Mammy, I couldn't help it, said Polly. She said, and in spite of all she could do, the rain of tears began again, which bade fair to be as uncontrolled as before. But Mrs. Pepper took her up firmly in her arms, and, as if she were Phronsie, sat down in the old rocking chair and just patted her back. There, there, she whispered soothingly. Don't think of it, Polly. Mother's got home. Oh, Mammy, said Polly, crawling up into the comfortable neck for protection. I ought not to mind, but 'twas Mrs. Jerusha Henderson. And she said, what did she say? Asked Mrs. Pepper, thinking perhaps it to be the wiser thing to let Polly free her mind. Oh, she said that we ought to do something, and I ought to knit, and... Go on, said her mother. And then Joel got naughty. Oh, Mammy, he never did so before, and I couldn't stop him, cried Polly in great distress. I really couldn't, Mammy, and he talked to her, and he told her she wasn't ever coming here again. Oh, Joel shouldn't have said that, said Mrs. Pepper. And under her breath, something was added that even Polly failed to hear. But no more she isn't. And Mammy, cried Polly, as she flung her arms around her mother's neck and gave her a grasp that nearly choked Mrs. Pepper. Ain't I helping you some, Mammy? Oh, I wish I could do something big for you. Are you happy, Mammy? Oh, for land's sake, cried Mrs. Pepper, straining Polly to her heart. Whatever has that woman... Whatever could she have said to you? Such a girl as you are, too, cried Mrs. Pepper, hugging Polly and covering her with kisses so tender that Polly, warmed and cuddled up to her heart's content, was comforted to the full. Well, said Mrs. Pepper, when at last she thought she'd formed between Polly and Joel about the right idea of the visit. Well, now, we won't ever think of it. Ever, ever any more. 'Tisn't worth it, Polly, you know. But poor Polly and poor mother, they both were obliged to think of it. Nothing could avert the suffering of the next few days caused by that long flow of burning tears. Nothing feels good on 'em, Mammy, said Polly at last, twisting her hands in the vain attempt to keep from rubbing the aching, inflamed eyes that drove her nearly wild with the itching. There isn't any use in trying anything. There will be use, energetically protested Mrs. Pepper, bringing another cool bandage. As long as you've got an eye in your head, Polly Pepper. Well, Dr. Fisher's face, when he first saw the change that the fateful visit had wrought and heard the accounts, was very grave indeed. Everything had been so encouraging on his last visit that he'd come very near promising Polly's speedy freedom from that hateful bandage. But the little Pepper household soon had something else to think of, more important than even Polly's eyes. For now, the hardiest of the group, the jolliest, was down. Joel. How he felt sick, they'll scarcely know it. It all came up so sudden. The poor bewildered family hardly had time to think before delirium and perhaps death stared them in the face. When Polly first heard it by Phronsie's pattering downstairs and screaming, Oh, Polly, Joe's dreadful sick, he is. She jumped right up and tore off the bandage. Now, I will help Mother, I will, so there. And in another minute, she would have been up in the sick room, but the first thing she knew, a gentle but firm hand was laid upon hers, and she found herself back again in the old rocking chair, listening to the doctor's words, which were quite stern and decisive. Now I tell you, he said, you must not take that bandage off again. Do you know the consequences? You'll be blind. Then you'll be a care to your mother all your life. I shall be blind anyway, said Polly despairingly, so it won't make any difference. No, your eyes will come out of it all right. Only I did hope, the good doctor's face fell, that the other two boys would escape, but, and he brightened up at the sight of Polly's forlorn visage. See, you do your part by keeping still. But then there came a day when everything was still around the once happy little brown house, when only whispers were heard from white lips, and the thoughts were fearfully left unuttered. Sounds like a good drama point to leave it off for today. All right. The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew. Love that book. Thank you so much, folks. Thanks for the whole week, really. Stopping by, giving us a like, thumbs up, follow. Appreciate it. Taking part in our chat here. We love you guys. Thank you so much. From the sublime to the ridiculous. You find a little bit of everything in there. Enjoy your weekend. Spend it with somebody you care about. And I will see you all again on Monday.
You just heard the Jay Sheldon Show. Join us Monday through Friday here on Rumble. Thanks for watching.
Snort.